All right. I'm so glad you guys joined this morning and wanted to be here this morning. I know there's lots of things you could do, so I'm just glad you're here this morning. Kind of set the stage. We finished up the last one. I don't know. I enjoyed that last little theme song we had at the introduction last week with the little ditty that went along with, what was that series all about? Anybody remember what the series was all about? All right. Thank you. At least somebody did. I'm sitting here going, come on, help me out, you guys. You know, it's like, give me a break. So I'm starting a new one this morning. And it's kind of different. I'm really wrestling with this because this is more of an informative type of speech. And it's really just, I'm kind of off topic right now. It's kind of frightening for me to come out. And 1, 2, 3, I got 4 rows empty up. Everybody sits in the back. You know, it's like, whoa, do I spit that much? I mean, you know, what's going on? But this morning's message is going to be more informative message. I really struggle with this because, you know, I like preaching practical messages. I want something you can take and apply to your life. But this is really an informative. I'm going to talk about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit and how to be filled with the Spirit and how the Spirit lives in us. And we're going to kind of spend the next few weeks talking about the Holy Spirit. And so it's kind of an informative message. But I want it to be practical, so you're going to have to bear with me. But what's really important with the message this morning, it doesn't matter if you're a believer or not, there's something here for you. I guarantee you this morning, you will find something in this message that you can apply to your life and that you can use. And I wanted to question right now. How many of you right here, right now, can say, you know what? I am really happy with my life. Anybody? I'm living a victorious life. I feel okay about my life. You know, we all have issues. You know, one of the things that aggravates me is to hear some preacher get up there and say, you become a believer, become a Christian, you'll never have a problem anymore. Anybody know that one? You know, if you follow God and you listen to God and you do things God's way, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Wouldn't that be nice? That it's not that way. And so how do we live life in a victorious way? How do I go through this life knowing that, you know, that I'm going to have financial issues? Anybody got, don't raise your hand, but anybody have financial stress in their home? You know? How about relational stress? Anybody got a little stress in a marriage? You know, just a little, you know, your spouse is kind of ticking you off a little bit. You know? Anybody got children or grandchildren? You know, any job that just drives you crazy? You know, anybody, how do we live a victorious life when we got to walk through this world with frustrations? Anybody? How do I live this life when I have defeats in my life? How do I walk through this world in the midst of the losses? How do we live a victorious life with all this stuff going on in our lives? And I'm a believer, and yeah, I cross that invisible line you hear me talk about. I'll talk about it more in the message. And I cross that invisible line, and I started following God, and yet I still have problems. And I still have issues. My job sucks. My family just can't get along. You know, the month is longer than my paycheck. Anybody have one of those? You know, how do we live a victorious life? How do I live a life that live and say, you know what, life is good. Yeah, I have these problems, but I'm going to live above them. Anybody want to live above the problems? Anybody want to live above the stresses and the struggles in life? Anybody want to live above the frustrations in life? Anybody want to live above the losses of life? Anybody want to be a victorious life? How can I get there? Now, I want to be sure that you know that I don't have all the answers, all right? God does. I don't. That's what the message is going to be about. That God has, because we're going to have them. So how do you think? One of the key ingredients is called the Holy Spirit. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about how can I get that Holy Spirit active in my life? How can I, in spite of everything going on in my life, in spite of all the drama in my life, how do I live a victorious life? And I want to kind of look at that this morning. And I begin with the passage here. It's 1 John 4:4. It's in your little outline. Why don't you get that out? Get you to circle some words and maybe fill in some blanks as you go along. I encourage you to do that. Listen to what it says. But you belong to God. Now, this is talking to believers. Now, so if you're a believer this morning, this is you. But you belong to God, my dear children. This is what John's writing. You have already won a victory over those people. See, they're being attacked by people in situations. Anybody been attacked by people in situations? Anybody having those relationship issues and situations in the home? Because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. You have victory in life because God lives in you. It's greater than he that is in this world. You see the picture he's painting here for us? That I can have victory in spite of all the stuff that drags me down. In spite of all the stuff that puts me down. Whether it's health or finances or relationships, no matter what it is, a job, school, whatever it is that's causing those issues in your life, that you can step above that and live above that in victory. Because there's a spirit in you that is greater than the spirit that is in the world. There's something bigger and more. And it's called the Holy Spirit. And I want to talk. I got the word paraclete up there. Now, it's not a paracletes, okay? That's not a paracletes, and it's not a parakeet. It's a paraclete. That is the Hebrew, that is the Greek word. And it's in one of the passages. I'll show you in a passage later on in the message. It is the Greek word for the Holy Spirit. It literally means, you might put a little note in there by where it says the presence. It literally means presence. It literally means called alongside of. It literally means advocate, helper. It's translated in all sorts of ways, but it's somebody that is walking with you. So let me ask, isn't it nice to have somebody walking with you when you're going through trials in life? Someone who knows how to get through those issues. Someone who knows how to fight those battles for you, whether it's frustration or losses or defeats, or you feel unsuccessful. Anybody feel unsuccessful? You know, you had this dream and it's collapsed, and you have all this going on in your life, and it's, where is the victory? Well, you have a spirit that's walking alongside of you. It's the paraclete. And so I'm not going to call that. I just wanted a fancy name, okay? So that's why I put it paraclete. I couldn't think of a better name. That it's called the Holy Spirit. And I want us to think about that Holy Spirit this morning. As a matter of fact, the next few weeks we're going to talk about it. Next week I'm going to talk about, I got some fun names. If you want to see the outlines, it's called Fill Her Up next week. We're going to fill her up next week because we're going to get full of the Holy Spirit. And there's a passage we're going to talk about next week about being filled with the Spirit. The following week, this third week of the message, I called it Fruitified. Don't you like that? I create words, all right? It's called Fruitified. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. You can jump ahead if you want. You can check that out. We're going to talk about the Spirit, the character that God wants us to produce in our life. And then the last one we're going to look at, that I can do it. And we're going to talk about the gifts of the Spirit that God has gifted us and that we can do it, that we can make it happen. And so we're going to do that. But this morning, I want to talk about the presence. I want to kind of lay the foundation. And here's my point this morning, that when you cross that line of invisibility, that line that says, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come in and take them. When you cross that line, the Holy Spirit dwells within you and takes residence in you. Can anybody say amen to that one? Come on, you guys, somebody should be saying amen to that one. That the Spirit lives in you. You're not alone. He's come alongside of you. He dwells within you. And so I want to talk about that this morning. But in order to get there, I figured I've had to deal with some issues. One of the issues we got to talk about is the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit's not an it. It's a person, okay? God himself. And so you see that word, the Trinity? The Trinity refers to God in three persons. And I wanted to kind of lay that foundation for you. And here's a passage of Scripture that kind of shows you this, all right? And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you to the end of the age." The Great Commission. Anybody familiar with that one? That's called the Great Commission. That's the commission to the church. And who's the church? Is the church the building? It's you guys, me. We're commissioned to take the message of Jesus Christ to what? Listen to what it said again. The name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You got the Trinity. That's one of those doctrines that's kind of hard to get your hands around. How can you describe God and yet he's three persons? They had all sorts. I went through college. They had all sorts of ideas. And so I put it this way. And you look at your outline. It says God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we have God in these three forms, these three persons, these three personalities. At one time, some people taught a thing called modality. Don't you like? I'm going to give you some big words. I told you it's an informative speech, right? It's called modality. At the beginning, you take the Old Testament. It was God the Father, and he was God the Father. And then for 3.5 years, or for 33 years, he walked the earth as God the Son. He was that mode of God the Son. And now he's God the Spirit. And so he was three separate forms. No, it's God. He's always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. He's always been one and consistent with one thing. Look at what it says here in Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Look at that. God is one. How do we describe this? And I'm going to be honest. I don't understand. How do you describe this oneness of God and yet there's three? Some individuals accuse Christians of being polytheistic. Man, I'm really having trouble this morning. I was excited about them at one point. Accused of it being polytheistic, that we have more than one God. There's some that accuse, but we don't. We have one God. He is one. But he has taken the personality. He has these persons of God the Father, God the Son. Now, there's been all sorts of illustrations on this, and I read all sorts of illustrations. You got an egg. Anybody familiar with an egg? Anybody know what an egg looks like? Anybody? Don't everybody raise your hand at one time, all right? You know, got the egg, and inside an egg, you got the egg shell, you got the egg white, and you got the yolk, and you got an egg, and you got three elements to that egg. And in order for it to be an egg, it takes all three, but it's an egg, you know. And so I've heard that illustration talking about God in the in three forms. And then I heard one time that doing certain things, you can take a test tube full of water and put water in a test tube and you make it in a vacuum, and then you do certain things to it and you can get three forms of water. Anybody know the three forms of water? You got liquid, frozen, solid, and gas, all right? And you can get three forms in a tube. I don't know. I tried to find that on the internet, but I did find, I get on there, and it was really fun. I got on there, and a professor at Pennsylvania says, yes, it can. At triple point of substance, isn't it nice? Triple point of substance, all three phases of the substance exist in a thermodynamic equilibrium. Doesn't that make sense? That's like trying to explain the Trinity, isn't it? It's like, I can make water into three forms at one point. Well, how do we, this professor can figure that out. I can't figure that out. It's really neat. I had a picture. They even made a diagram. One of the guys made a diagram and showed you right where it's at. Don't you? Can you guys see that? Look. It don't work that way, does it? Yeah. How do we understand? Yeah, he says you can, that you can create water in three forms in one place at the same time. And a matter of fact, one of the professors posted a picture of a lake that had frozen water sitting on top of it. And then the moisture steaming off the water, where you got three forms right there in one place. You got the liquid, you got the frozen, and you got the steam because of the humidity of the water raising. I don't understand the Trinity. I'm going to be the first to tell you, I don't understand the Trinity. I just have to believe it. You know, I got a complex God. You know, if I could figure God out, I'd be smarter than God. I'm not that smart. You know, if you can figure God out, he's complex. He's infinite. I got this little small mind. You know, I kind of look at it this way. You know, let's compare ourselves to God. We'd be like, brain-wise, we'd be like a dinosaur with a walnut brain, and God's got the big brain, right? You know? How do we comprehend this? To me, it's like God is complex. He's bigger than we can understand. He's bigger than I can wrap my arm on. And so when I look at God, the Holy Spirit is not an it. It is God. It's not a part of God. It's not like, well, we'll slice this part of God off and put it over here. He's God. And it's God. And that's the image we need to have. And so if somebody asks you about the Trinity, you can explain, you know, I don't understand it. But, you know, they can make water into three forms in one place. Well, God can be three in one place too. You know, I don't get it. But I want to make sure you understand we have this doctrine called the Trinity. And here's God. I mean, it's the beginning. Listen to what it says here in Genesis as God creates us, okay? As God created me and as God created you. Listen to what it says. Then God said, let us make man in our image. Why don't you circle our? Whose image are we created in? God's image, correct? We're made in the image of God. After our likeness, again, our, and let them have dominion over the flesh, over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God made man in his own image. Now, whose image are we made in? God's image. He starts out with ours, and now he's singular in one image, right? You notice that? And then he goes on, and here's it even gets more. So God created him and man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female, he created them. And what's interesting is the name of God here is called Elohim. It's plural. And the created is singular. So it's saying like this. We is going to do this. Anybody ever talk like that? Now, that's Gary, because Gary in his English can do that, all right? You know, I use ain't, and I probably shouldn't do that. But that's what he's saying here. We is going to do this. We is creating man in our image, in my image. We get the Trinity here. You know, I don't understand this. I'm just reading it going, okay. You know, but it shows up at the baptism of Jesus. All right? Look at what happens at the baptism of Jesus. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. Okay, he's baptized. He comes up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending. What's coming down? The Holy Spirit. Like a dove, and lighted on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased." You see the Trinity there? Descending, the voice of God speaking, and Jesus getting baptized. See, I don't understand this. And so for me, here's what it is. I need to be in awe of God anyway, right? You know, God is just God. There's an awe. There's an awesomeness. There's this complexity with God. And I just see this God. Now, it says he descended as a dove. And so many times you'll see the picture of the Spirit as a dove. Anybody ever see those? You see the Holy Spirit, you put a dove in. Well, I didn't like any of the pictures of dove. And I took this picture that's on the screen, an eagle. And I was on a beach up there in Oregon, and I got this picture. I got within 20 feet of a bald eagle and took a bunch of pictures. And I'm going, I like that for victory. Doesn't that eagle, that awesomeness, that magnificent eagle. You know, I think that's a perfect symbol of the Holy Spirit. Awesome power, strength, beauty. I see that. That's the Spirit. And so I created my own. I tucked the eagle and did that. Plus, I wanted to brag about a picture I tucked. Is that okay? You know, I can't take good pictures. But that's how I see God. And so we see God. He's the Holy Spirit. It's not an it. It's the presence of God. He's there. He was there from the beginning when God created. As a matter of fact, you read it. It said the Spirit of God moved over the waters. Guess what? I mean, you can just see it working throughout the scriptures. And then we come to Jesus, and he comes, and his presence is here, and Jesus lives and walks this earth, and he gives us some promises. And one of those promises is the Holy Spirit. Right? One of the promises is that I'm going to send this Holy Spirit to be with you. He's trying, you know, and you go to the Gospel of John. Now, the Gospel of John is a biography. John was with Jesus and followed Jesus for 3.5 years, and walked with him, seen the miracles, seen the death, seen the resurrection. He was there through the teaching, watched the lame walk. He's seen all of that. And heard Jesus teaching. And he recorded this teaching that Jesus had. And so here's that promise that God has, that he's going to send us. I'm going to use the word comforter here, okay? That there's a comforter coming. That I'm going to send my Spirit upon you. I'm going to send my Spirit there. And I'm going to send you the comforter. And then he says this in John 16. But I tell you the truth, it is better for you that I go away. Now, Jesus is like, I'm going to die. All right? Jesus is saying, I'm going to die. I'm not going to be here much longer with you. I've taught you. I've been here. I showed you the way. I've been a great example for you. Here's what it means to follow God. I've taught you the truth. And now I'm going to die pretty soon. When I go away, I will send the helper to you. The comforter. You have a different translation. The advocate, if you have a different translation. If I do not go away, the help will not come. Now let me give you the picture here. If you read the Old Testament, the Spirit of God descended on individuals, and individuals did great things, and the Spirit of God ascended back into heaven. the presence of God in the Old Testament was temporal. It was temporary. The Spirit would come upon somebody. They could do great things for a time and accomplish great things for God. And then when that was done, the Spirit left. Then we come to Jesus. Jesus died, rose from the grave, ascended to heaven. He sent the Spirit back to us to be with us and to live in us forever. There was a changing when Jesus came and when Jesus died on the cross for us, ascended in. And he's saying, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to send my Spirit back to you. I'm going to send the Spirit back to you. He made a promise to us. There's no conditions here. There's no, well, I'm going to give it to some of you and I'm not going to give others of you. If you are a believer, he's saying, and that's what he's talking to here. He's talking to his disciples, the believers. He's not talking to the lost world. He's talking to the disciples. And he says, when I leave, I'm going to send my Spirit to all the believers. There's no condition. Well, you're going to get it because I like you more than I like him. Or you do this, so I'm going to give it to you because you do that different than this one does it. Or you're better over here, I'm going to give it to you. No, there's no condition to receiving the Holy Spirit. Every believer receives the Spirit. Is everybody on board with that? Again, man, there's no amens in here. This is bad. I mean, I want you to live a victorious life, man. I want you to know that life is defeating, man. Life is rough. Life kills you. Anybody on board with that? Anybody been beat up by life? If you want a victorious life, man, here's this Holy Spirit that wants to live in you. And here's this promise, man, that I can walk out those doors and I'm going to live victoriously. Now, I'm going to tell you, somebody posted this morning, enjoying life, it's raining here. Jack, guy used to live in Salida, lives in Oklahoma, I think, now. Posted, it's raining here. And I went back and said, Jack, thanks a lot. It's as hot as hell here. You know? You know, I'm going to walk out, and this world is going to beat the living daylights out of me. But I got this Spirit that lives in me. Isn't that a great promise? You guys ought to be saying amen. You guys ought to be saying, man, you know what? I don't have to live this defeat. I don't have to live in sadness. I don't have to live in defeat. I don't have to losses. I don't have to live in frustrations. I don't have to live in unsuccessful. I don't have to live in that trash. I live victorious. Anybody on board with that? I mean, that's what the Spirit is. That's that promise Jesus has given us. I've got a helper. I'm going to talk to my grandpa preaching hellfire pretty soon. You know? I just feel sad. I look at our world, and I don't know about you, but I watch people. I walk. You guys know I walk everywhere. And I watch people come up to these corners, and if somebody was in their car with them, I think they were going to kill them because of the expressions. You might know what I'm talking about. You pull up to a stop sign, look at that guy, and go, man, he must be mad about something. You know? We live a victorious life. Because the present, here's this promise. I'm going to send you this Spirit. There's no conditions. It's yours. You can have it. It's not for some and not for some others. It's simply, this is yours. I'm going to send him to you. And if he promised something, guess what? He's going to do it. And he does. Go on down to the book of Acts. If you're going through your Bible, go on down to the book of Acts. It's the fourth book in the New Testament, okay? Wait. The fifth book in the New Testament. Because there's five biographies of Jesus. Listen to what it says here. After Jesus rose from the grave, remember, he was crucified, died, buried, rose from the grave, getting ready to ascend into heaven. He ascended into heaven in the first part of Acts chapter 1. Chapter 2, here's what it says. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. They is the disciples. There's 11 of them right now. And then there's some other disciples, up to 200 there maybe. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, a gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through the ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. Jesus promised the Spirit in Acts chapter 2. That promise is fulfilled, okay? Anybody got the picture here? Here's the promise. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. I got to go. If I don't go, you ain't getting it. That's what he's saying. But I'm going to go and I'm going to send you this Spirit, this victorious life, that abundant life, John 10:10. You can have this Spirit. And then in Acts chapter 2, there's that promise fulfilled. You don't have to wait any longer. It's here. Now here's the challenge. We don't have to wait for the Spirit. The Spirit's waiting on us, okay? You know, that Spirit is there, and they spoke in different languages. Just kind of paint a picture. Anybody, was anybody here last week with all that was going on in the park over here last week? Anybody remember that? It would be like me going over there and say, they invite me onto the stage up there that they had set up, and I get up there, and all of a sudden, Spanish starts coming out of my mouth. Yeah, you guys are laughing, because that'd be a miracle. That's what happened here. That's what they're talking about. They had this big old gathering. All the people came to Jerusalem for this event, just like, yes, last week that was here. And they're from all over the world. Different languages from all over the world are there. And all of a sudden, the disciples get up, and everybody there can hear in their own language. One of the conversations we had in school was this a miracle of the tongues or a miracle of hearing? I think it was more a miracle of hearing than it was of speaking. Because I think it'd be kind of confusing if the guy up there is preaching Spanish, and I get up there and start speaking English. Who can you guys understand? Two guys at one time speaking the same language? I don't know. So I think it's a miracle of hearing as we go through this. But here's that promise that's fulfilled. We no longer have to wait for the Holy Spirit. It's here. The Holy Spirit is here. It's not an it. It's not a thing. It is God himself. I like to use his Godhead, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a big encompassing thing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then we got God the Spirit descending upon the earth like a flame coming into the presence of the disciples and filling them with the Spirit. And they begin to speak in these languages. See, that promise became real. And when that promise became real, what became real too is the presence of God. Not a temporary, now I'm going to come and be here with you and help you accomplish this task. But once that task is done, I'm going to go back. No. The presence of God, I'm going to come and live within you, and I'm going to live with you in your home. I'm going to live with you in your workplace. I'm going to live with you in your schooling. I'm going to live with you wherever you're at, in your finances, in your health. I'm going to live with you in wherever I'm going to be there. That's the presence of God. So when and how? You guys following along the outline pretty good? Am I staying right there? When and how? When do I receive the Spirit? How do I receive the Spirit? How does this all happen? And so that Spirit came upon them. They began to speak in these tongues. And then Peter begins to explain it. All right? Now I want to make sure you get a picture here. Peter begins to explain it. Now, when Jesus was crucified, where was Peter? He was hiding, wasn't he? When Jesus was on trial, where was Peter? Talking to a little girl that scared him to death. Am I right? Where was Peter when all this was going on? Peter's this guy, and the disciples are these individuals who've run away. They've hid, fearing for their life, afraid of just a little teenage girl. And now the Spirit descends on them. So God fills their life. Peter replied, here's what you do. Here's how it works. The Spirit came and it transformed his life. It changed him. And he goes, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, do you get the picture? You receive that Holy Spirit when you, what? Repent and be baptized. Repent. So I put that word repent right there in big, bold letters. What is repent? I was on my way to the mall, but I repented. I made a U-turn and came home. I didn't want to go to the mall. That's really what repent means, all right? But anybody ever use that word? As Christians, we might throw. But most of the time we don't talk. So what does repent mean? I gave you the definition of it. Here's my definition of repent, all right? I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. Is that a pretty good definition of repent? God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take control. It's that crossing of that invisible line you hear me talk about in church. I want to be a believer. I want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I shook the preacher's hand. Eh? I'm going to follow God. I'm going to do God's way. I'm going to be the best person I can be and make the best choices I can make. It ain't going to work because you ain't going to do that very long. I don't think any of us, anybody can do that 24/7, 365 days a year? I can't be perfect. I can't even be perfect in the morning right here before church. Anybody? You know? I got to reach that point in my life. God, we're doing things my way. I want to do yours. Come to my life and take control. I'm repenting of the back. You know, I've made some poor choices. I've made some things that I'm not happy with. I made some things that, you know, regrets. How about that word? How about guilt? Anybody? Can I throw some words out like that? You know, there's guilt and there's regret and there's remorse. And, you know, God, I have this. And I repent from that. God, I'm tired of doing it my way. I want to do it yours. Come my life and take. And I cross that invisible line. Believer receives. Isn't that what it says? I want to make sure you get that picture. Every believer receives that Spirit when you cross that line. And see, baptism is that picture. Now, you don't get baptized to receive the Spirit. You get baptized because it paints that picture. I'm rejoicing with the family here. They're going to go see their grandson baptized today. You know, that's joy. I remember baptizing my grandson. I was going through pictures that I got to baptize my grandson and my granddaughters. And that paints that picture. God, I'm dying to my old self. I'm tired of doing things my way. I'm going to do things your way. Isn't that what baptism paints a picture of? You know, and we're going to do just so you know, I got to do a baptism before the end of September. We're going to have some baptisms going. I'm going to do my class 101. I'm going to talk more about it. And so we're going to have a baptism. I don't know who's going to get baptized yet, but I expect some people to get baptized, okay? God told me we're going to have that done. And so I'm going to do class 101. I'll talk about that in a minute. That baptism paints that picture. You repent. If you want the Holy Spirit, so let me tell you something this morning. If you have accepted Jesus Christ, that's your life. You reach that point in your life where you say, God, I was tired of doing things my way. Forgive me for all that sin. God, forgive me for all that garbage in my life. God, I'm going to do it your way. Come into my life and take control. If you made that decision, let me tell you what, you got the Holy Spirit. Is that true? Somebody say amen. I mean, come on. You know, you got the Holy Spirit. The Spirit lives in you. He dwells in you. Listen to what it says here in Romans. This is Paul. But you are not ruled by your sinful selves. I'm tired of doing things my way. You are ruled by the Spirit. I'm going to do things God's way. If the Spirit of God really lives in you, that the person who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Christ. Here's what that verse says. If you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you're not saved. That's what that says. If the Spirit of God is not living in you, you've missed it. But if you have believed in Jesus Christ, you've crossed that line, you're His child. Guess what? The Spirit lives in you. You never with me? You got that presence of God in you. See, that Spirit lives in us. We're His. Simply because I believe. Not for some and not for a select few. Well, the preacher gets it. I don't get a lot of things either, okay? But the preacher, you know, no, every believer gets the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit dwells within them. You get that point in your life where, God, it's yours and I'm yours. I like what Paul told in his letter to the Ephesians, that ancient letter to the Ephesians. Look at what it says. You heard and believed the message of truth, the good news that he has saved you. In him, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit whom he promised. You were sealed by that Spirit. When you believe, you were sealed by that Spirit. Now, I'm going to date myself, okay? I don't like doing this very often. How many people remember Seal-A-Mill? Anybody remember those Seal-A-Mill things? You know, you got those little vacuum bags. You put the vacuums all the air out, and you seal it up. That's the picture I have here, all right? That God put me in a bag, sealed me all up with the Spirit. All right. You know, that's the picture I have, the Seal-A-Mill. Yeah. I tell you I'm old. No comment. But I want to make sure you get this picture. You have the Spirit. If you're a believer, if you're here this morning, and you're not a believer, I got bad news for you. If you haven't crossed that line, if you haven't told God you're tired of doing things your way and you want to start doing them His way, and you haven't done that yet, you do not have the Spirit. That's the truth. And it's not me saying, it's what God says. Isn't that what He says here? You don't believe, you don't have. But if you are a believer this morning and you've crossed that invisible line, you have the Holy Spirit. Like I said, this was going to be an informative message, right? I gave you the information now. But I'm going to give you a warning. Warning, warning, warning. Beep, 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 beep. Red lights flashing. Don't you? You know, I as I was writing this, I wrote, but, you know, sometimes buts are good and sometimes buts are bad. All right? Some of you guys are laughing. You guys shouldn't be laughing. I know where your mind is if you laughed at that, okay? There are some good butts and some bad butts. You guys, what am I going to do with? What I'm saying is, you know, you read, but this is good, but this is bad. This warning is bad. I like the good ones. I don't like the bad ones. So let me give you some warning. It's on the back page of your little outline here. Let me give you a little warning here about the Holy Spirit. This is the practical part, okay? If you're a believer, you've crossed an invisible line. Here's what I want to say. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. You've received the Holy Spirit. He lives in you. He dwells within you. There's a lot of paths. We're going to go through a lot next week. We're going to talk about being filled. And we'll have a good time with that next week. But just right now, you just need to know He lives within you. He lives in your life. But don't quench the Spirit. It is hard to live God's way 24/7, 365 days a year. Anybody agree with that? It's hard to live that life that is pleasing to God 7 days a week, 352 weeks a year. And so sometimes we quench the Spirit. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but I take control. I'm a control freak. Anybody else? You know, I want to run things. I want to do things. I have a way. I like my way. Anybody like your way? You know, it'd be a lot easier if my wife did everything my way. It'd be a lot easier. Anybody on that one? You know, we all want our way. And sometimes we take it our way. And I'm going to talk about being filled with the Spirit and get a whole message on just this concept. But here's what I want to know. If you start doing things your way, you're quenching the Spirit. Okay? So if you start doing things your way, you're quenching the Spirit. Let me ask you this. How many here, if you've crossed that invisible line, can remember when you accepted Jesus Christ, when you crossed that line? How many can you remember when, you know what, I remember the day that Jesus became real to me. You know, I was 17 years old, and I can remember. Anybody remember the joy? The excitement? Just the feeling, I mean, that feeling that was within you? And now, for me, it's been several years. Does it kind of wear? Can you stay that excited all the time? And so sometimes we need to come back to God and catch that fire again. Like one of the fire catchers for me is when I got to baptize my grandkids. I remember we went to Linda and Ron Perry's house up there, and my grandkids, along with several others in our church, got baptized. That's exciting. You know, that just ignites that fire again. That's that Spirit just filling us again. I'm going to talk more about this. You want to talk about being filled with the Spirit next week? Come on next week. We're going to fill you up next week, okay? We'll get you all full. I'll get you full of it, okay? And next week. But I want to make sure, don't quench the Spirit. To that joy. Come back to that excitement. Come back. That's that victory. Can you remember that time when you were facing defeat? The bad thing, maybe a relationship situation, maybe a financial situation, and all of a sudden something happened. I can't explain it, but something happened, and you just felt like, I got this. There was just a feeling in you that the Spirit just welled up inside of you and says, we're going to do this. There's victory here. Anybody have those victory times? Are you going through those? See, don't quench the Spirit. There's a warning about quenching the Spirit. Look at what it says, 1 Thessalonians 5:19. It says it real simple. Don't quench the Spirit. How about the next one? Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. When we sin and we do things our way, and after, no matter whether you're a believer or not, you need to know this. If you sin and you do things your way and you're going your way, you hurt God. Anybody here a parent? When your kids do something that you wish they hadn't done, does that hurt? Well, we're God's children. We do something that He doesn't want. It hurts. We wound God. We can grieve the Spirit. We can grieve God by our behavior. Anybody on board? We can grieve God with our attitude. See, we can grieve God, and we shouldn't be grieving God. We shouldn't be hurting God. Sometimes, like I said, we not only throw our lives back, we start going our own way. And we start doing things our own way. And we grieve God. And we hurt God. And we wound God. And so that's called grieving the Spirit. Listen to what it says here. Ephesians 4:30-32. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. by whom you were sealed by the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with malice. Kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Isn't that nice? Don't grieve the Spirit by your attitude towards others. Not just God, you know. God and I are all right, but man, I don't like that person. Anybody on board with that one? You know, God and I are doing good, but you know, that I don't know about that one over there. It don't work that way. God says, love God and love one another. See, don't grieve the Spirit. So that's my warning if you're a believer. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit. Now, if you're not a believer, and this is the one I get the most questions. This is the one I get the most questions about. If you're not a believer, it says, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Now, that's not another word you guys lose all the time. Anybody use that word? You know, it's not a big word. Says, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. I get this question. Here's this verse. Therefore, I tell you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven. I thought all sins are forgivable. Anybody? I thought all sins are forgivable. You know, God forgives all sins, right? So what's he talking about here? What's he saying here? Well, here's what it says. Let me give you the picture. What it's saying is this. What's not forgiving is the Spirit of God is what convicts us of our wrongs. The Spirit of God is what stirs my heart and calls me to God. And when I push the Spirit away and I don't accept Jesus Christ, there's no excuse for not being a believer. That's what it's saying. You know, what he's saying is this. If you reject Jesus Christ, you not only don't have the Holy Spirit, you don't have eternal life. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? If you go back, John is saying, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through him. That's what it's talking about. It's not talking about a particular sin we do. He's talking about we rejecting the Spirit who's convicting us that you need Jesus Christ. That invisible line that is sitting there before you, and maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure what to do with God, and you're not sure what you believe in God, you're not sure about God, you have lots of questions and doubts, join the crowd. We all do here. I don't think anybody here would say, I don't have any doubts. Anybody not have any doubts? You got a clear understanding of the Trinity, right? You got it all figured out. You know, we all have doubts and questions. But maybe you're sitting here this morning and the Spirit is saying, you know what, you need to do something about your life. You need to get something straight in your life. You're doing things your way. You're just going your way. You're ignoring the Spirit. You're ignoring my teachings. You're ignoring what I have planned for your life. You're just blowing me off. That's called blaspheming the Holy Spirit. And you're just doing things your way. God, I got this. I don't need you. I've got life. How many times can you live a victorious life? You got control of it. I can run my life and I'm always going to win the battles, right? Anybody think they can do that? So there's a time when you got to come back and go, you know what, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them yours. Come into my life and take control. That's what a Christian is. And when you do that, so that's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, rejecting the conviction, rejecting that spirit that's saying, you know what, you're going the wrong way. Anybody ever turned the wrong way in a one-way street besides me? You know, you didn't see the sign. You know, it's like, oh, no. You know? Well, God is sitting there with the Holy Spirit. Wrong way, wrong way. Don't enter. You know, you see those on the freeway, you're getting ready to get off the ramp or get on the freeway, it says, don't go that one. God's got a sign saying, no, not this one. Don't take this ramp. Ah! That's the Spirit. If you reject that, that's blasphemy of the Spirit. Am I making sense? Is it as clear as mud now? Yeah. See, you have the Spirit. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit. The Spirit lives within you. He dwells in you. If you're not, don't have the Spirit, he's knocking on your door. That's what the Scripture says. He's wanting you to receive. So here's my question for you this morning. Are you living victorious? I'm not asking if you don't have any problems, because we all have some. If you don't have a problem, guess what? I'll be your issue. Because I'll be your issue this morning. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to cross that invisible line today. You need to make a decision. You happy with your life? I'm cruising along and I love my mess. Anybody love the mess you're in? Isn't it amazing? Some people do. I say that kind of sarcastic, but some people do. Some people enjoy the mess of their life. Don't bother me. I'm okay. Anybody, you ever see somebody's life a trash and a mess and they're going, I'm okay. I'm okay. Don't worry. You know? But the Spirit of God wants to dwell in our lives. He wants to live in us. So I want to challenge you this morning. If you're a believer, are you quenching the Spirit? Are you? Are you, just, you know, that joy, that peace, that strength, is it just something missing? Are you missing that? It says repent. Just come back to God. Just come back. He'll fill you. We're going to talk about that next week. I'll give you more details on that next week. Are you quenching the Spirit? How about, are you grieving the Spirit? If you're a believer, are you grieving the Spirit? I'm doing things my way. I've got this one, God. Don't worry, God. I'll fix it. You know, we don't say it out loud, but we say it with our actions. Are you grieving the Spirit with your attitude, your action, how you treat one another? That's what it said, how you treat one another. My main God's okay, but yeah, you know, I don't know. If you're not a believer this morning, Holy Spirit's knocking. What are you going to do? You're going to still just go down that line? I'm just going to go right on ahead. You ever watch anybody just run right into the brick wall? You know, you sit back and you wonder. I was reading some reviews one time, job reviews that had reviews that people wrote. And the guy wrote on this. He had sat down with the manager, and the manager, he left. And the manager wrote this. He's hit bottom, and now he's digging. Anybody do that in your life? You know, you hit bottom instead of turning around and repenting. I'm just going to keep digging. I'll hit oil sooner or later. So I have to ask you this morning. Don't quench, don't grieve, don't blaspheme the Spirit. He wants to live in you. If you're a believer, he does. If you're not, he wants. He's yours. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your words and your truths. I thank you that the promises are fulfilled, that we live in a time of fulfillment of the promise. The Spirit lives in your followers, dwells within your believers. He lives in the hearts of those who are yours. And he's knocking on the hearts of those who need you. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, do you feel like, you know what, God, I've kind of quenched the Spirit. I've grieved the Spirit. You want me to pray for you? Will you raise your hand and just say, would you pray for me that I don't quench the Spirit, that I don't grieve the Spirit? I see those. Anyone else? Anyone else? Yes, I see those hands. Lord, I thank you for these who are willing to say, it is a difficult walk in this earth, but your Spirit indwells us, Lord, and indwells them, and they don't want to grieve or quench the Spirit. They want that joy. They want to go back to that joy they experienced when they crossed that invisible line, that time when they remember what an excitement, what a peace, what a wonder to be your child. Lord, I ask you to fill them with the joy of your salvation. Just as it prayed in Psalms 51, we pray that you restore that joy of salvation to them. You know, as I'm praying, maybe there's someone here who needs to accept Jesus. Right where you're at right now. You know, you might, I've got my life, I'm doing okay, don't bother me, just leave me alone. I'll make it, I'll fix this, I'll figure it out. You need the Spirit. Just right where you're at right now, you just simply say, God, I'm just tired of doing things my way. God, I can't do this any longer. I can't handle this anymore, God. I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come into my life and take it. Just pray that prayer right now, right where you're at. Just pray that prayer. Just surrender to him. And when you do, that Spirit comes and dwells within you. Lord, these are your people. Those who need you, those who've accepted you, Lord, your Spirit is stirring hearts. Encourage, strengthen, and lead these, Lord. Let your Spirit not be rejected. Let your Spirit be full and rejoicing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.